No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and today we got the one and only Dobeezy.
Oh, really?
On the podcast. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling excellent, man. How you, man?
I'm excellent. Yeah, back at work, Monday.
Yeah, Monday, man.
Had a little scare last week, thought I might have COVID for a few days, but beat that, and here we go.
Oh, you cool?
Yeah, I didn't.
You show?
I was around my mom, and they thought that she had it, and then she didn't have it. So then I'm like, well, what the fuck am I worried about? I feel fine.
No, for sure.
You know.
I just make a show because you I don't think you're 6 feet away from me.
No, yeah. We're not that distant, okay. But we'll be all right. You were probably in a strip club last night, if I had to guess.
Yeah, I probably just got that shit the other night.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you were in the strip club last night. When's the last time you were in a strip club?
Be real. Day before yesterday.
Day before yesterday.
Right. I got. That's why I came out here for real. I got booked at the Dollhouse.
Mm. Yeah. So if you want to perform as a rapper these days, the regular ticketed shows ain't really working, but the clubs and the strip clubs are more of an option?
Yeah, for sure.
Makes sense.
That's what's going on right now.
So what happened last time we did the interview? That shit, the audio got fucked up or something, right?
Did the audio get fucked? I don't remember.
It was like 3 years ago. That's all I know.
Yeah, man.
And I'm pretty sure we fucked the audio up. So it was like, it's online, but it's not as good.
So we're going to make sure this audio not fucked up.
This audio is great. We're 100% since we started doing podcasts here. We ain't never lost the audio once.
Big.
Beautiful. So let's go back a little bit. Tell us a little bit about the early days of Doughboy.
The early days of Doughboy, man. As far as what, like, which Doughboy you want? You want
your upbringing? I just want to know about.
Yeah, you want to know the upbringing in the streets, or you want to know about the early music days? Which you want? Which one you want?
Let's go streets, and then we can transition into music. Since I know you do both, you're very very blessed in both games.
Yeah, no, for sure. But no, I grew up in the streets of Cleveland, East Cleveland to be exact, Knowles Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I come straight out the trenches, one of the poorest cities in America.
Mm.
I think we is the poorest city in America, matter of fact.
Really?
Yeah.
Poorest city in America is Cleveland?
Nah, East Cleveland.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's serious. So it was rough?
Yeah, definitely. All bandos.
Really?
Every street. All bandos.
What, there's just all the businesses left the area, so then you're just left with like shitloads of abandoned areas and stuff?
It's fucked up out there. Big potholes, big bandos. Mm. I'm about to start buying back the community, though.
Really?
Yeah, no dead ass.
That's the goal, huh?
Yeah.
Makes sense. Where would you go first, though? Would you buy like housing, or would you buy houses individually?
I'm going to start, because you know the houses out there, they so cheap.
Yeah.
Like you probably get a house out there for $1,000 dead ass. Get a house for like $1,000, probably put like $20,000 in the house.
Yeah.
Sell that motherfucker for $40 or $50.
There you go.
And just keep doing that shit like that. Probably buy about 10 houses and do that.
That's a real hustle.
Yeah.
Fuck all this rapping shit. Okay, but so as a kid, how many brothers and sisters? And did you have both parents or just one?
I actually only got my mom. Then, I mean, I got my dad. I just never met him.
Uh-huh.
But I got brothers on his side. But I just met them too though. Like I just met them for the first time like last year on tour.
Wow.
Like when I went to North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
We was on the tour and shit. I had my brothers come. That was my first time actually meeting them.
And they tapped in and they were excited to meet you and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, hell yeah. But we've been talking for years.
Uh-huh.
We just never saw each other ever.
But is that weird to have a relationship with somebody that you're related to, but you actually like everybody I'm related to, it's like we have a tight bond, but we have a tight bond because I known them when I was a little less
right,
kid.
Right,
you know?
Right. Nah, it's different though. But shit, they're my brothers though, so I love them. So you feel me?
Mm, definitely. Okay, so your mom was raising you? Like, what, you know, there's a lot of different ways that you could have a rough upbringing, but was it like, you know, what level was it on in terms of like what you were dealing with and the struggle?
Like, because, like, shit, my mama ain't never really, we ain't never really had none. Because she always was on disability and shit like that too.
Mm.
She got like a lot of health problems and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And like she's been in like car accidents or like her back fucked up. So she, for me, she ain't never been able to really just work for real.
Right.
Like she always like here and there she'd get under the table jobs and shit. But we ain't never really had nothing.
Uh-huh.
Like I come from the worst of the worst. Like we used to have to, like we ain't had no, like our gas would be out or our lights would be out. And I had to go stay with my auntie or my cousins and shit like that.
Definitely.
And then like even when I was coming up, I was trying to get my music shit going. We ain't never had a computer or nothing like that. Used to have to go to the library every day and do that shit.
Right.
Or I couldn't wait to go to my auntie house on the weekend so I could go fuck around on MySpace and try to.
You take it for granted, like, that anybody have a phone or a computer or whatever, but you don't, like, it's easy to forget that there's, like, a whole shitload of kids that would be doing something creative with their time if they were able to make beats on a computer or be able to have a $50 mic and record, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
Definitely. Okay, so were you fucking up in school or what
definitely
what,
I was fucking up in school.
What was Doughboy at like 9, 10 years old? Like what was that experience?
It's so crazy. When I was 9 years old, I was staying with my auntie. Uh-huh. So my auntie, she stayed up the way and shit. That's across town from where I'm from.
Right.
So when I was staying over there, I was going to school over there too. So it's so crazy. I was like 9 years old. I brought a knife to school because, feel me, some kids said they was going to jump me and shit.
Uh-huh.
And I brought a knife to school and I got caught.
Wow.
And my auntie and yeah.
How'd you get caught?
Because I pulled it out.
Yeah. That'll usually get you. That's like every kid that get fucked up, though. You bring something cool to school, you're trying to do something, you show one too many people. That's how you always get caught up.
For sure.
Yeah, it takes a while for you to learn that you got to keep all your crimes to yourself. Although, that's not really what being a rapper is all about these days either.
Yeah, no.
So you got caught with a knife at 9?
Yeah.
Okay. And was that like serious punishment or was it some fucking around shit?
Yeah, I got my ass beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But nothing too crazy?
No, not too crazy, no.
Okay. You graduated high school?
No, hell no.
What grade did you make it to?
I actually made it to the 12th grade.
Really?
I failed the 11th grade, and then I did night school, like in the, like you feel me? Like I didn't go to regular school because I always got expelled.
Uh-huh.
So it was like I was doing the night school and shit, and I failed the 11th grade, but then I got bumped up. So when I went to the 12th grade, I was actually the school year had just started. The school year started in like August and shit. I probably dropped out in like October, the end of October, matter of fact. Mm-hmm. So I was in school for like 2 months. But some shit had happened where my friend had, he killed himself and shit. And then, but I was right there and shit. So.
You were there?
Yeah, I was standing right, literally right next to him, like this far away.
He killed himself where? At school?
No, we was in this nigga apartment and shit that we used to be at. Shit, we was in the building and shit. We just geeked up playing around. So he just always used to play with guns and shit like that.
Oh, so he killed himself by accident?
Yeah, he killed it just playing with the gun.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's so crazy because he had it was like a 38.
Uh-huh.
But it was like you feel me? Well, we was on some young nigga shit, though. Like, you know, a nigga had hella guns and shit, though. But that specific one was like, that bitch work when it want to type shit.
Right.
It was one of them guns that, like, the firing pin was fucked up on it.
Oh, God.
So it's like, nigga, you can squeeze that bitch a million times and that bitch won't go off. But then, you feel me? It just so happened that one time, like he was playing with that bitch all day,
right.
Like dead ass, just bang, bang, just playing with that bitch. And then it's just the one time he decided to put that bitch to his head, that bitch went off.
Like, and you saw this?
I was standing right next to him.
And what do you do?
What do I do?
Like, how do you react? Do you just call the fucking ambulance right away?
The shit, when the shit actually happened and shit, when, as soon as he shot himself and shit, I looked over. I just seen all the big pink hole in his head and shit, though. And I seen his brains and shit was like on his shoulder and shit like that. And I looked, I'm like, man, what the fuck? So mind you, I had my girlfriend at the time was in there. I had a couple niggas that I was fucking with and shit. And then his bitch was in there too.
Uh-huh.
So mind you, like when the shit happened, nobody was really paying attention. So it caught everybody by surprise. So when the shit happened, I'm like, damn, mind you, I got all these guns. I got like two guns on me too. So I'm like, damn, I actually stayed in the apartment buildings across the street.
Uh-huh.
So when the shit happened, I tell his girlfriend, like, make sure he cool and shit. I got to go hurry up and go put this shit away.
But you knew he was dead right away?
It was point blank range. It was one of them situations, like, you know what's going on. Like,
right.
Like, if boom, right on the temple. Like, so it was like, I'm like, damn. I knew it was over with because it's like, ain't no making it. It ain't like he accidentally shot himself in the arm or,
right.
Or anywhere else. He dead ass on his brain, like his brain's on his shirt. Like, I knew it was over with.
Jesus.
So I tell her, like, man, make sure he cool. Like, shit, everybody trying to figure out, I already got to put these guns up because I know the police about to come and shit. So, boom, try to hurry up. I go put the guns up. So So by the time I come back downstairs, I'm about to try to go back and see what's going on. It's already, police already swarming and shit. So when I see all the police coming and shit, I go back upstairs. I walk in the house. My mama in there bitching about some whole other shit.
Right.
You're like, I ain't take out the trash or some shit.
I got some real shit on my mind right now.
You don't even know what's going on. I walked in the house. She yelling at me about some whole other shit.
Right.
And I'm like, man, what the fuck? It's too much going on right now, lady.
Yeah.
You crazy as hell. So boom. She yelling at me and shit. Da, da, da. So I go take out the trash. But I'm thinking, I'm like, damn, should I hide my guns? Like, should I throw it? When I go to the dumpster, I'm like, damn, should I go hide my shit outside? Should I just leave it in here?
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, fuck it. Normally, I used to always keep my gun under my mattress. But this particular time, I'm like, I just put it under, in my closet, in the top of the closet where my clothes is at. I put it up under there.
Uh-huh.
So I go downstairs. I take the trash out. Mind you, I see the police and shit. They swarming all over there and shit. I'm like, damn. I can see them across the street and shit. So when I go downstairs, I take the trash out. I come back upstairs. As soon as I walk in the door, I walk in my room. All my clothes is on the floor. So my mama then went in my room. So I don't know if she was sitting there listening to me, rumbling through the closet or something, like I was up to something. I don't know what made her go in there and tear my room up.
And you're how old, 16?
I was 17.
Okay.
I think I was 17, or was I 18?
But she would not have known that you would have had a gun at the time.
No, she ain't know I had a gun though.
Right.
But she always, that was the fourth time she done found my guns though. That was the fourth time that shit happened.
At 17, that's rough.
So
that's a lot of guns.
So motherfucking I come back in. All my clothes on the floor. I'm like, man, what the fuck? She like, get the fuck out of my house. Why I tell you about bringing these goddamn guns in here? Uh-huh. But she's still not knowing what's really going on. I'm like, damn. So I got my girlfriend with me at the time. My mama done kick her out. Tell her, hey, call your mama. She got to come get you.
Uh-huh.
Kick her out. So she tried to kick me out. I'm like, man, you know what? I know the police about to come knocking on my door at any given moment anyway, though. Mm-hmm. I already knew they was about to come for me. So I was happy to actually leave. And I'm like, shit, because I'd rather go downstairs and wait in the lobby and waiting on them. They feel me? So they come get me from here instead of knocking on the door.
They didn't think you shot them, though, right?
Yeah, they did.
They did.
So,
oh, fuck.
So when I went downstairs and shit, literally, I was sitting in the lobby for 5 minutes, and I seen the police walking through the door. And they was like, I'm like, what'd he say? He said, son, he like, is you Cottrell? I'm like, yeah, y'all looking for me. I already knew that y'all was about to come get me. They already grabbed everybody else that was, you feel me? So one of the person that was there, he stayed in my building too. He stayed on the first floor. So even when I first went downstairs in the lobby, I knocked on the door, and his dad told me police already grabbed him.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, yeah, they really about to come get me. So boom, they walk in the door and they like, is you Cottrell? I'm like, that's crazy. Yes, I am.
Uh-huh.
So they lock me up. I sit in jail for 72 hours. You know, they do the 3-day investigation and shit. You know, when you under murder,
uh-huh,
and shit. So they was investigating me for the murder and shit. But they end up having to let me go. So when they let me go, I actually had to go to school the next day. So when I went to school, I walk in the building. As soon as I come through the hallway, everything just quiet. It's weird as fuck. I'm like, man, all right, man, y'all in this bitch acting funny as hell. You could tell everybody looking at me
They thought you did it too?
Yeah, hell yeah. So everybody looking at me crazy. I go in class. I go in my first class. My teacher come up to me. You know, she passing out the assignments and shit. She come up to me and she say some weird shit to me like, yeah, I heard what happened. Da, 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 da.
You fucking demon.
You be careful. She said some weird, I'm like, you know what? I ain't about to deal with this shit.
Right.
So now I go home. I tell my mama off the rip. I say, Ma, I don't want to go to school no more.
Mm.
Like, I can't, I ain't about to deal with that. She like, shit, just promise me you gonna get your GED. So she like helped me, she let me drop out.
Right.
So I dropped out and then I didn't get my GED until I went to prison. I ended up going to prison like a year or two later.
Oh, so you went to prison when you were like 19, 20?
Yeah, I went to prison when I was 19, yeah.
Okay. So do you think—
So that— matter of fact, I was 18 when that shit happened. I was 18, that was October. That was like October 2012. Then I went to jail in February. I went to jail in February for a warrant that I had for the guns that, cause the police went to my house too. Like when they came and got me, they came and got me, but then they still went upstairs and went to the house.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's so crazy. My mama had just found my guns. So when they went and knocked on the door, she already knew what the fuck they was coming to get.
Mm.
So
she hid it for you?
Nah, she gave it to him.
Oh, fuck.
Because I had two guns, though. She only gave him one of them. She only gave him one of them. So, but I had two guns. I had two guns. And I had, like, I used to have, like, this little book bag and shit. I used to have, like, my gloves in there. I had, like, my ski mask,
little Robin bandana, kit, yeah.
And like, bullets and, like, extended clips and shit like that. Oh, I just boy. Had weird shit in the bag, like.
Yeah.
So she ain't give him the whole bag though. When they came, she just gave him a gun.
Uh-huh.
So when she gave him the gun, they end up, you feel me? They try to do ballistics on the shit and da da da.
That's boom. Why they didn't charge you with
so,
it.
So yeah. So boom. When I had a warrant, when I went to jail in February, I had a warrant for that gun. Mind you, because I didn't have a case for that. Like, when they found it, they wouldn't think about, like, trying to get his nigga a gun case.
Right.
And they was busy trying to figure out this murder. So they end up, like, when they couldn't pin that shit on me, they just like, all right, we're going to hit you with this gun case. But you couldn't hit me with the gun case because it was, like, it wasn't a CCW. I wasn't carrying a concealed weapon because you didn't catch me
right.
carrying
it's
no
in
gun.
The crib, yeah.
It was in the house. So they just hit me with a receiving stolen property. So I was chilling in my parking lot and shit, though. I was chilling in the parking lot. Matter of fact.
You gonna pull a gun out?
No. I was chilling in my parking lot and shit.
I thought you about to pull a hammer out on me.
No, I ain't gonna up on you.
I thought you were just gonna show me something. Boom, Desert Eagle on the table. All right.
Yeah, no, I ain't gonna put it on the table. Put that bitch on me, though.
Yeah.
But,
fucking dope boy. What a legend.
I was sitting in my parking lot and fucking we was just chilling. I was talking to my nigga Drama actually. He actually locked up right now. I was talking to Drama and shit. And he like, he was smoking. Motherfucking police pull up because the people in the people in the office and shit, they like, all right, some niggas sitting in front of the fucking, in front of the building and shit, just smoking weed.
Mm.
So I guess they seen them fog in the car and shit. So they was pulling up, and they had the police pull up, just ready everybody to tell us, just get the fuck up, stop doing that right here, on some petty shit. But they run our names and shit. I ain't know I had a warrant.
Mm.
So I give my name, and they like, oh, come with us. I'm like, man, for what? I ain't know what the fuck I was going to jail for and shit, though. So I got locked up. Well, I was in jail for, like, a couple of days. I bonded out for that. So, boom, now I'm fighting that case. A month later, matter of fact, it was, like, a day after my birthday. That's when I caught my robbery and shit.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I ended up doing the long bit for what I did the years for and shit, though.
Well, since you went to jail for it, can we talk about what happened with this robbery?
You want to know, like, the
who'd you rob and what'd you get and what were you trying to take and
the full
what went
story.
Wrong? Sure.
No, I mean, I don't want to get it like the full story.
Right.
But
however much depth you want.
It was one of those situations and shit, though. We was, you feel me? We was cool and we was, you feel me? doing regular shit though. So, motherfucking pull up to my nigga house and shit. He had an apartment complex. So it's like the way the complex set up, it's like it's buildings on this side of the street and it's buildings on that side of the street.
Uh-huh.
So he stayed on this side. So he was over there, he had to get something from his house and shit. So boom, he like, let's go smoke. So he's like, all right, cool. We pull to the buildings across the street.
Uh-huh.
So as we pulling over there, and shit, and we ride past. Niggas really was just trying to find a spot to smoke at, though. So we pulling over there. Mind you, I guess it's just, it was really his lick, though. So he like, oh, that's the one nigga who be having the shit. Like, I guess he was a nigga who be chopped out there and shit, though. Like, oh, that's the one nigga and shit, da da da. Mind you, he's standing outside his, he got a fucking like, Range Rover or some shit like that. Like, he's standing outside the car, but he talking to his bitch. Like his bitch in the driver's seat, and he just standing in the window talking to her. Little nigga like, man, that nigga lacking, like. I'm like, shit, what's up? What you trying to do? So boom, we hop out, you feel me? We stick the nigga and shit though. So boom. But the it's so crazy because the shit was so fluke. Cause it's like when we did the shit, it went wrong because, all right, boom. I was up on the bitch. So the bitch that was in the driver's seat, we was down there, we about to take this nigga car, we about to take everything though. Like he fucking had all types of shit. We about to just take whatever the fuck he had.
Uh-huh.
So boom, I'm more so focused on the bitch and he got old boy and shit though. So boom, she trying to scream and shit. I'm like, bitch, shut the fuck up before I kill you and shit though. So boom, he on his ass though. So, but where he went wrong, when he patted him down, he never patted back here.
Oh shit.
So when he did that, a nigga was giving the shit away though. But he really ain't even he had like a wallet, like, you feel me? Like his wallet, his phone. Like he had a bunch of weird shit on him though. He ain't really had shit. So he patting him down, he never patted his back. So mind you, we in the back of an apartment complex, so get to see I seen like a light come on and shit. Like, you tell somebody came and they was looking out the window, looking. Like, so the light came on and I just see somebody just looking out the window. So now we had to put in like, all right, boom, now we rushing and shit, though.
Right.
You feel me? We was going to end up taking the fucking car and just doing whatever the fuck. So I see that. I'm like, ah, shit. So now we in a rush. So boom, I'm like, fuck it, come on, about to get up out of here. So boom, the nigga who was driving us and shit. But this, I regret even doing some shit with like a nigga that you even know that ain't even like that and shit though. A nigga who just be trying to be cool and just, you know what I mean, just a bitch ass nigga. A nigga used to boss around and take me to the store, take me to do this, da 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 da. So it was just a nigga just fucked up though, because I trusted him in the real life situation. So we like, all right, boom, mind you, we take what we take, whatever we get. So boom, we running off. So as we running off, mind you, the car was supposed to meet us. Like, all right, when you see us running, you know to pull up and let us hop in, then skirt off. So as we running back towards the car, he pull up, he's sitting right there. So as we running back towards the car, mind you, dude we just got, he had a gun on him. So he like, hey, motherfucker. So when he say that, mind you, if he would have never even said that, he probably down there could have killed us. For real, for real. But when he said that, it alerted me. He like, hey, motherfucker. I turn around. I see him put his gun out. So boom, get the blowing at the bitch. So soon as the bullets start firing, this nigga skirt off. I'm like, oh, this bitch ass nigga just bounced on us.
Wow.
So boom. Now we running. Mind you, I don't even know where I'm even at, for real, though. Like, this, I don't know my way around here. Like, so I'm with my nigga and shit, though. We running, though. So, boom, he chasing the dude on, he firing, he blowing that bitch. Hmm. So, boom. Nigga trying to duck, shoot, and at the same time run, get away. So, we side by side. I'm like, all right, now. We running side by side for too long. Fuck that. One of us gonna end up getting hit eventually.
Right, we're too big of a target,
if
right?
If we stay at this pace, no, fuck that. You go that way, I'm going that way.
Right.
So, boom, we split up. He go that way, I go this way. Mind you, it's like some garages and shit. I go hide in the garage. So, boom, I'm sitting in the garage. I got a 38 on me, that bitch empty. I'm like, man, I ain't about to sit right here, because if this nigga come back here, he gonna fucking see me and kill me.
Right.
I can't even do nothing. So I'm like, fuck that. I leave out the garage. Mind you, I don't know where I'm at. I'm reaching in my pocket trying to find my phone. I hasn't left the phone in the car. So I go hop the gate. I'm on a whole nother street now. So I'm like, oh, I'm about to just play it off and try to just walk like a regular pedestrian and shit. I'm like, go knock on somebody's door and try to use somebody's phone. Try to call these niggas, see where the fuck they at. So I'm motherfucking, I'm walking towards somebody's house. I see a car. It's a car that was parked on the street and shit, though. It had all the lights off. Couldn't really tell what it was and shit. I wasn't paying no attention. I just see the door fly open, though. Free, get the fuck on the ground. It was the police the whole time. So I see that. I start running. I hit the backyard. So I toss the gun. I toss the gun and shit. I'm trying to hit the gate. Boom, I run, jump over the gate. As I'm jumping over the gate, cops already coming from that side too. Hmm. So they on this side of the waiting on me to jump over there. Yeah, bring your ass on. I see him down there. I just let that bitch go. Dude rushing me from the back. I'm like, man, fuck it. I'm caught. Like,
yeah. Wow.
Like, man, ain't nothing I could do. He tackled me, beat my ass.
And what'd they end up charging?
Took me to jail. Had like 2 counts of aggravated robbery, 2 counts of felonious assault. So it was 2 counts of aggravated robbery because it was 2 people.
The
nigga and the girl.
Did the guy who you robbed, did he testify against you?
Yes.
Oh my God.
So it was 2 counts of aggravated robbery because it was the nigga and the girl. Then it was 2 counts of felonious assault because you shot at him and the girl. Uh-huh. So then I had a tampering with evidence for trying to throw the gun. Then
wait, when did you shoot at him and the girl? Or you just pointed the gun at him?
No, I started shooting as soon as he said, hey, motherfucker.
Oh, okay, you turned around and shot.
So when he said that, I turned around, I seen him pulling his gun out.
Okay.
So, boom. And then I had like a, it was another little petty one. It was like an F5.
I forgot. Okay.
So I go to jail again, and I'm in there for a couple days, and I find out. Mm-hmm. So it's around the time when that happened, like right when that happened, I literally signed with Future right after I got out of jail.
Wow.
Like after I bonded out, when I went to jail, I told them niggas like, hey, all right, I'm free band on some gang shit, but now this shit need to be business because I'm fighting a case and I need some help.
Right. So you had already been in communication with them while you were in prison?
Yeah, I was already free bands. Like I was gang, like on some just, feel me, on some just, all right, you free bands, all right, we got to understand it. Like you with me, like.
Because like.
Just want real paperwork involved.
So yet. Free bands was a separate street organization at a certain point that had nothing to do with the label.
Free bands ain't no street organization.
But there are people in the streets who call themselves free band gang or whatever, right? Mm. All right. I'm not asking you to tell me that you know.
No, but
whatever you're comfortable saying here.
But you know, free bands is just it was just one of them situations where I ain't have the paperwork yet.
Right.
So when I caught the case and shit, I'm like, all right, I'm going through all this. I need paperwork. So you feel me? I want to show my judge, like, all right, I'm a rapper. Like, Like, I'm hoping that this shit can help me.
Right.
Then, you feel me? I need, like, some help getting a lawyer and shit like that. So, you feel me? I'm like, shit, all right, boom, come on.
How'd you even know Future in the first place, though?
I knew Future since, like, 2011.
Uh-huh.
Like, I was fucking with Future before, like.
And you were doing music already at this point?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Okay.
I was going crazy, too.
Right. And he just sort of saw what you were doing and believed in you?
I met him on Ustream.
What?
Yeah, on Ustream.
Right, because I'm forgetting that, like, 2011 Future was not modern-day Future. It was, yeah, like, the beginning of his career. Yeah.
I didn't ever even think Future could get this big. I didn't think no street artist could get as big as he did.
Right.
Like, I never saw life this far.
There was a bunch of auto-tune rappers coming out around that time period, and you weren't really looking at them like they were going to get as big as they could. And even with Future, like, his first album went crazy, but his second album wasn't as crazy. You didn't really see him becoming as big of a fucking legend as he's become.
That shit happened when I was in jail. But it's like when you look at a street artist, like even myself, I never thought that you could be a street artist but still be like a pop star at the same time, like have that pop star status.
That's and very really, true.
I never thought that it could happen until he showed me that that could happen.
And he was one of the first people to really pull it off too.
Yeah, like, so it's like I was cool with, nigga, with the trap Future, like with the level that he was at when he made Tony Montana.
Right.
Like, I was cool with him being that big. All right, shit. Well, nigga, we gonna be free bands. We gonna rock out like this.
Uh-huh.
Shit, nigga, we gonna just control the streets like this. I was cool with that.
Yeah.
So when I went to jail and shit, and he get to going crazy when he dropped the Monster, the 56 Nights, the Beast Modes, and the What a Time to Be Alive, and he just going up to this whole nother level. I'm like, man, what the fuck? I started knowing it was crazy because I'm in jail watching this nigga on TV.
Mm.
Like, I'm looking at fucking Jimmy Kimmel or
whatever.
All that Fallon shit, crazy mainstream looks.
Yeah.
So I'm watching him on all that shit. I'm like, man, what the fuck? Everybody used to be on the racks. We was being jail on our rack.
Right.
Hey, like, man, boy, you dumb as fuck. You supposed to be right there.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, man, that's crazy. I really am dumb.
Would you really be feeling that, though, when someone say you that while you were in prison? You'd be like, man, I got to get the fuck out of here.
No, dead ass. That shit really made me be like, because I really am.
Yeah.
Like, I'm supposed to be a part of what's going on right now.
Right.
Like even imagine if I was out, like, I mean, I'm glad everything fell the way it did, though. Like, I feel like I went to jail for a reason because it's like, everything just, it ended up making sense at the end of the day. Like, because if I never would have went to jail, he would have never made My Savages.
Mm.
So certain shit just, it all makes sense at the end of the day. So it's like, I'm looking at it like, damn, I'm supposed to be right there with him right now going crazy. Mm. If I was out while he was doing all that, and I was his right-hand artist, like like the shit would have been crazy. Like, imagine like when somebody at the peak of their career, then they bring the artist with them and shit like that.
Mm.
Like, so I'm looking at it like, damn, oh my God, I'm so anxious. I'm like, man, he going so crazy right now. I need to be right there with him, going crazy with him.
Prison's bad enough for anybody, but
yeah,
when
so
you have that
on
to look
top
at,
of that, yeah, like, so I got a lot going on. So that shit was kicking my ass though. But it's like, shit, this all worked itself out because now we going crazy. Like,
right.
Future, and then now I'm Doughboy. Like, now I'm getting to that level. Like, I'm really blowing up. I'm really getting bigger. Like, my shit doing this, my shit ain't doing this, or my shit ain't doing this, it's doing this.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're somebody who's been really grinding for years and years and years, and like, even in the last year, like, how many fucking music videos you put out? Like, a dozen? Like, many videos.
I've been on their ass. Like, for real, what I've been doing, like, I've been dropping new music, like, every Tuesday and shit.
Uh-huh.
And I've been trying to, like, shoot a lot of videos. And even if I just drop a song with just the audio and put it on YouTube. Because what I notice is I see, like, a lot of the new artists that's coming up, they going crazy on YouTube. So, mind you, my YouTube don't really do as good as my streaming.
Mm.
Like, I drop a project, I'm going to do 1 million streams in a day. You know what I'm saying? But my YouTube videos won't do 1 million views in a day. You get what I'm saying?
Mm.
So it's like, I've been building my channel. Like, I've been dropping consistently, trying to build my channel up so it could get to that point. So it's like now I'm trying to make everything make sense. All right, boom. Because I want to do the million streams of the day on the streaming. But that, I mean, that's what I care about the most. I don't really, the YouTube shit, it don't matter. Because you feel me, niggas buy views and do shit like
and
that.
The weird part is that YouTube videos are like expensive to make and then you don't really make that much money off of it. And then on Spotify, doesn't cost as much money to just record music and you make way more money off of it.
You're going crazy.
But like, the YouTube is just promotion for the Spotify. Because if you have a video get 10 million views, then you know it's going ridiculous.
That's what you, at the end of the day, that's because that's the main goal.
Yeah.
You want your YouTube to transfer over to your Spotify and your Apple. Because at the end of the day, the music game is based off of streams. That's what really count. That's where your money coming from. That's what make you a big artist. So it's like, I never gave a fuck about YouTube. Even like, my biggest songs, like my songs with the millions of views and shit, like Minivans and Walk Down, them shit's not even on my channel. So I be thinking like, damn, if I had them songs on my channel, I would even have even more subscribers than I did. So it's like, now I'm figuring it out though, so I'm uploading everything on channel. I don't want to drop on Worldstar no more. No disrespect to Worldstar, I love Worldstar and I appreciate what they did for me. But I don't want to drop on nobody else's channel no more. I want to drop on my shit. I'm building my channel now. So now my shit's starting to grow. Like I'm starting to do more views in a faster period of time than what I used to. And I'm seeing a difference, like damn, all you gotta do is stay active on this shit. My subscribers going up now. Like I just not too long ago, not even probably like 6 months ago, I only had like 19,000 subscribers on my YouTube. Now I'm at like 75,000. So it's like, all right, boom. Now my goal is to get to 100,000. And then it's gonna be 150,000 and 200,000. But like when you get to like 100,000 subscribers on YouTube, your video is gonna damn near every time you drop, you're gonna do a million. Like shit like that. And I'm realizing that shit. Like I pay attention to everybody's shit and I see how shit be going. I'm like, all right, shit, I got the streaming shit down pat. Niggas ain't streaming like me. It's niggas who do way more YouTube numbers than me. But they can't fuck with me in the streaming world. Like, like a nigga could drop a project, save damage me. He not gonna chart higher than me.
I feel like there was a point that you kind of hit as a rapper where you decided to sort of like simplify your flow, not like just sort of like make it so you're comfortable putting a lot of space between bars and just sort of like trimming it down, making everything sound really good and not over cluttering the tracks or whatever. Like, was there like a realization of like, or is that just like a steady growth of you refining what you do?
Yeah, see, we were just talking about this shit the other day. Like, the way my music is now is like I got Doughboy down packed to a science now. So it's like now I got a formula. And I know exactly how the fuck to do this shit. Like, I know how to play with my bars now. I know how to play with my words. Like, I know how to say this like this, stop right here, and do that ad lib right there. Like, I know how to make that shit perfect. So it's like now my flow is becoming so impeccable, it, like, don't make no sense. Like, I just be all over the place. Sometimes I dead ass will be recording, and I will stop and be like, damn, bro, did you just hear how I just said that? Like, like that as me and my engineer, we be having them conversations like, bro, what the fuck? I'm really getting hard as fuck. Like, so it's like, and I ain't doing nothing but getting better. But that shit just come around, that shit come with being around great people. Like, when you sit in the studio with a nigga like Future and shit like that, you don't have no choice but to learn how to,
right?
You feel me? So it's like, It's just taking what I learned from him and mixing it with what I got.
What's the main thing that stands out to you about Future in the studio, though, that, like, because I'm sure that's another level. Like, it's just, you know, his music's not like anybody else. I'm sure in the studio he's got to have a specific style.
Bro, this nigga, but the most impressive thing is, like, how the fuck he can stay in the studio for 24 hours straight and not leave.
Right.
Like, he'll be in the studio at 11 o'clock in the morning like it's regular, like, from the previous day.
Right.
And I'm like, man, it's 11 o'clock, but I do the same shit now.
Yeah.
My nigga, they be mad as fuck at me.
Not like, understanding.
I kidnap their ass. We about to lock in.
Rappers, like, they take a lot of pride in not really understanding the concept of, like, getting a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
Or no, if you do, it might be, it might start at, like, noon.
Yeah, no, I'm probably, good sleep to me is 3 hours, 3-4 hours. That's good sleep to me.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's scary. Dead I ass. Need 8. Give me 8.
Yeah, I don't get 8 hours of sleep.
No. Okay. So, in terms of, so You know who it kind of reminds me of stylistically is I feel like I always look at 21 as somebody who raps really fucking good by rapping really simple. Like,
yeah.
But every bar sounds perfect.
Yeah.
It's like he does it right. And that's kind of
he got his shit down pat.
Like, that's what I think of when I hear you is that you fucking like you've learned to like not overcomplicate things. Say shit, make it sound like you really fucking mean it,
yeah.
And just stand on it and don't feel the need to add any fancy bullshit, whatever.
No, that's see, sometimes it depends. It all depends on the song. Mm. Like certain songs, it require like trying to do some fancy shit here and there. But certain songs, it's all about the beat for real.
Mm.
You gotta just know how to ride that bitch. Simple, less is more sometimes.
Definitely.
So it's like you gotta just know how to do that shit.
No, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Speaking of 21, though, you guys, you came close to getting into a little altercation on the internet there for a moment, right?
Oh my God, come on, man.
I gotta hit you with this.
I knew you was gonna get on the drama.
I gotta hit you with this because I seen the tweet and I was like, well, he's calling out two people. Because he said something about like, oh, everybody got to say yes, Erski on their songs now. And I'm like, well, I could think of two people, Doughboy and Lil Pump. What did you think when you read it?
Now, see, this the whole thing. Like, even with that, like, I fuck with Savage. Like, Savage the homie. Like, he been bringing me out. Like, he had come to my city. He bringing me out at his concerts.
Mm-hmm.
Shit like that. Like, we been doing fucking Howard Homecoming together. And I'm performing with him. Shit like that. Like I've been fucking with Savage. Like, so when that shit went on, and it was just like a misunderstanding, like for real. It's like it's one of them situations like he a gangster, I'm a gangster, and it's like, all right, boom. He said that, nigga, anybody I was offended. I ain't gonna lie, I was offended. But it's like when he said, all right, everybody that said that da da da. I'm like, damn, it's only me and Pump. And then he said, y'all niggas. Mm. Da, 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 da. So it's like, he ain't say him. So it's like, just in case you talk about me, he probably even wasn't even talking about me. It's a chance that you wasn't.
But you know how that is sometimes when you throw a shot, you might say like, I hate when motherfuckers wear these type of jeans or some shit. And then, you know, you're one homie who wears those type of jeans. You're like, I wasn't thinking about him. God
yeah,
damn.
No, it could have been one of those situations. Like he probably did not do it on purpose.
Right.
But that's why I said what I said. Like, you feel me? We didn't argue. We didn't get into it. And I be trying to get motherfuckers to understand. When they ask me about it right now, I be like, no, I fuck with dude. Like, don't. Mm. Like, I just literally posted his album. Like, his album had just dropped a couple days before that happened.
Right.
I posted his album on my page and kept it up even after that situation.
Right.
Just to show that this ain't that. It's just one of them situations to where, all right, boom, he said that, and then I had to say what I say just in case. Just so, you feel me? Because at the end of it, I'm just like, shit, I don't owe nobody nothing.
Right.
So that's why I said what I said. But if it wasn't about me, then perfect.
Right.
Then, you feel me? But it's like, it ain't, I fuck with dude. I be trying to get people to stop, leave that shit alone. Like, that shit right. ain't.
But your fans like probably look at you like somebody who needs to respond to any
yeah,
perceived
see,
disrespect,
see,
you know?
But see, but that's but my fans look at shit like that, but it's like at the end of the day, I can't let them influence my decisions.
Mm,
because definitely. Because they don't understand like this shit not for play. Like this shit really for real. So it's like I'm gonna say what I say because that's how I feel and I'm just me.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? But it's like shit, bro. Like even all the instigating shit, and I even seen like how the blogs they get on YouTube, they making the videos. You know, they get to doing the weird voices, and coming with the whole speculations and do all that shit. And I'm peeping so much of that shit going. I'm like, they really trying to turn this shit into something.
There are so many beefs that wouldn't happen if it wasn't for that shit.
The internet are making some shit. Like, and it's like y'all got to stop doing that because it's like nowadays. We not playing, like, rappers in the industry, we not playing no more. Like it's really gangsters in the industry. That's like, Savage a gangster, I'm a gangster. So what the fuck y'all think? Y'all trying to make us beef, like, it ain't gonna be no rap beef. Like, y'all wanna be entertained on the internet? Like, come on, bro, y'all dealing with real gangsters. Like, we gonna be really trying to hurt each other.
Mm.
So why is y'all trying to do that?
That is kind of crazy.
It don't make sense though, because it's like I got real beef going on where I'm from. He got real beef going on where he from. And it's why like, is we gonna add this petty shit on?
That don't make no sense. It's a 16-year-old kid with a meme page that's just like aggravating situations with like making drumming up conflict between real people who could really have something happen.
That shit not cool. But then as soon as something happened to a nigga, they be crying and be like, "Oh my god, bitch, it's your fault." Yo, you the reason why your favorite rapper did because you hyped some shit up and made it a situation. And that's why, as soon as that shit happened, nigga, like, motherfuckers, you know, niggas got it on them phones and shit. Niggas was figuring that shit out. Like, bro, we got to fix this shit right now. Mm-hmm. Doughboy and him not about to be beefing.
Right.
Like, and that's not even something that I, because that's somebody I want to work with him. I want to fuck with him. I want to, you feel me? That's a nigga I respect who, like, you feel me? So it's like, I don't want, like, especially not over no petty ass shit. Like, come on, bro. I'm really a gangster. Like, I don't want to beef over no petty shit.
Right.
I want to beef with a nigga because a nigga really did something to me. Really tried to hurt me or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Respect. Respect. I wanted to ask you this. How did you get on GQ? Doughboy and GQ. Kind of surprised me.
I'm a fucking pop star.
Look at this guy.
I'm so beautiful. They ain't had no choice but to be like, oh my God, we need you on here.
Right.
But I dropped Demons R Us, a lot of shit was just going crazy. Like my press, like I just did some shit with BT too. BT just came to my house.
Oh wow.
And we just did a little segment and shit. But a lot of shit, like my press been going crazy though. Like ever since I dropped Demons R Us, a lot of shit have been different for me. And shit though, like shit, as soon as I dropped, they reached out. I'm like, man, what the fuck? When my PR from the label hit me up, like, GQ want to do this interview with you.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, man, the real GQ, like GQ magazine?
Right.
Like
any rapper with a lot of jewelry, maybe going viral with them.
Yes, but it's like, if you know, they selection is crazy. Like, if you go look at their channel, it's all A-list celebrities and shit like that.
Right. Like, That's why I was a little surprised.
I probably the least known nigga on their channel.
I was like, man, Doughboy is up here with fucking Ben Affleck and all this shit. This is crazy.
This shit crazy. I'm probably the least famous nigga on their channel.
But, you know, it's crazy about GQ. It's like, since when do they give coverage to street rappers?
Yes.
Like, they switch their shit up. Special. They realize that, like, if they want to appeal to, like, cool young men.
You gotta do that.
It's like, you can't just be like, oh, look at this fucking white guy in a suit. You gotta be like, yo, fuck with these rappers and shit.
Exactly.
You know? It's kind of crazy. Okay, so I wanted to ask you about. Oh yeah, so I seen that you got videos with Dirk, and I see that you had like a fucking Uzi feature. Tell me about how you've been making these connections and stuff. How are these people you just meet, or are they being lined up by people on your team, or how this shit come together?
Nah, it don't be lined up. It be all organic. Like even like nigga like Dirk. Like I've been fucking with Dirk since like before I went to jail. Like when they was first blowing up and shit, I was been fucking with Dirk. Like me and Dirk been rocking. I was in jail, he was free Doughboy. Like, yeah, so when I came home, you know, me and Dirk got like a different type of relationship. Like that's really like, we got a brother relationship. Like,
right.
Like when I was staying in Cleveland, like, and Dirk would come to Cleveland, like he come to my house, like he picking me up, dropping me off, grabbing, you feel me?
Right.
So shit like that, like, like we got that type of bond. But like even with like the Uzi shit, like that shit just organically, it's so crazy. Matter of fact, me and Uzi got cool in the weirdest way. Motherfucking, it was actually Chapo. Look.
Shout out Chapo,
you know he in the cut.
With an X.
So.
Figure it out.
So I'm like, I check my phone and shit. I see I got like 4-5 missed calls. Like, oh, what the fuck going on? Boom, I call him back. Boom, it's Chopper and my nigga yelling and shit, though. They was out in L.A. I think they was in L.A. And they was somewhere. Uzi was having like a event. He was like outside and shit, talking shit, I guess. So Uzi was like, I guess he said to them, like, hey, what's up? We're Doughboy. They was talking to him and shit, like, hey, so-and-so. We rubbing money game. He like, oh, shit. We're Doughboy. So boom, they was trying to call me and shit. So when I called them back, they're like, hold on, Uzi want to talk to you.
Mm.
So they put Uzi on the phone. They're like, shit, what's up, bro? Da, 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 da. I'm like, shit, nigga, we got to work. Like, I'm like, shit, fuck with me. He like, I got you. So But I thought he was hitting me with that rap cap shit, you know, that nigga just talking on the phone and shit.
Yeah.
So I'm like, he ain't just give me his number or nothing before he hung up. I DM'd him as soon as we get off the phone. He sent me his number. I'm like, oh shit. So I sent him a song. I sent him like three songs, actually. And he like, oh my God, I love this song. It's a song called Low Key. That's the first song we ever did together.
Uh-huh.
I'm about to officially release it on Valentine's Day. Well, no, I'm going to drop it on the 12th.
Okay.
February 12th. So he like, this shit right here, this a hit. He sent the verse back instantly.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, damn, oh, he really must fuck with that shit. He just really just sent that shit back ASAP.
Wow.
So since he did that, I'm like, damn, oh, Uzi really a real nigga. Like, he don't got to do shit like that. Like, you little Uzi Burke, you don't have to fuck with me.
That's what's cool about Uzi is that you could tell that he's down to just work with underground artists.
He genuinely fuck with niggas. Like, if he fuck with you, he gonna fuck with you.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, boom, we did that. It's so crazy. The song kept getting leaked. The song was just leaked. I just had to make the label and take that shit down. Mm. Like, that bitch was leaked on YouTube. It's going crazy. I'm like, oh shit, no, that shit really hit. That's why I'm about to, they forced my hand. Now I gotta really put it out. Because I really was saving it for a specific occasion because it's like, it's a different Doughboy. Like, actually, I'm on there vibing, singing to the bitches and shit like that. It's like a song for the bitches.
Do you not want to do that kind of shit?
No,
anymore?
I want to. I want to.
More of that.
I want to. I got a lot of music that's like that, and I want to put out more of that. It's just like, I got to figure out how to make it make sense and make it work.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people don't always accept that shit when they love you for something.
Right.
And when you try to be different, they be on your ass. So it's like, I'm trying to figure out how to slide that shit in because I like doing music like that. I got a lot of music like that. And it go crazy. That shit hard as fuck.
Right.
I be singing that shit fire. But when we did the Low Key shit, and then when we did Bussin', motherfucker, I was in like in our studio. Him and Pluto was working on their album. They was finishing their album at the time.
Mm.
So the way our shit is, we got our own studio, like a free band studio. So it's like, I'd be in this room, Future be in this room, Guap would be in this room, shit like that. You feel me? So I'm in my room and shit, and they like, you know, Uzi over there. So I go over there, I go holler at him and shit. And shit, what's up? When we kick his shit. And I'm like, matter of fact, I'm working on the Demons R Us album at this time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I got some shit you need to get on right now. He like, pull that bitch up. And I pull up Bussin'. So I pulled up Bussin', he went crazy on that bitch. So we do that. The way the video even came about, we were just chilling at the studio one day.
Mm.
I'm like, you gonna be here tomorrow? I'm like, you ain't leaving, is you? He like, nah, shit, I'm gonna be in town for a couple of days. Bet. Made my cameraman. He drove down from Tennessee. He come down the next day. We pull up. We shot that video at the studio, like literally outside the studio. That whole video is outside the studio.
That's tight, because like, if you get an Uzi verse, that's dope. That's definitely dope.
But then when you get the video.
The video is what you really need. You really gotta get that shit cracking on YouTube.
That's why I'm like, shit, I don't care how we got to shoot this bitch.
Yeah.
We shot that bitch outside the studio, literally.
How long was he taking to do a verse? Was he just going in there and just doing it real
quick? Yeah, no, Uzi go crazy. He finished that shit fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's dope. That's really good. Good to hear. The other thing about Uzi, though, like, we've seen the problem, and it's certainly not the problem with you, but the problem with him doing songs with people just because he likes the song or whatever. He recently did a song with the Pop Hunter Kid, and then there's been this huge controversy about him because he allegedly snitched for a murder when he was like 15, 14 years old.
Oh, and I seen Uzi told him I need my verse back.
Right, and I wasn't sure if that was a real DM. I still feel like we don't know if that was a real DM or not, but it might be real. Either way, Uzi wasn't 100% happy about it. This whole kid's career is under fire. How do you feel about that, and how would you judge somebody if you knew that a rapper snitched when they were at like such a young age they probably barely have fucking hair on their balls yet?
I mean, that ain't no excuse to me.
Mm.
I mean, you feel me? But it's like, at the end of the day, I don't, if you're not a street nigga, I don't judge you.
Mm.
Like, so it's like, if you don't live by this, then I mean, how the fuck can I blame you?
Right.
It's just like not saying, I don't know if like you, but that's just like, if I motherfucking put my gun out right now and I shoot you in your fucking leg, and you like, shit, bro, I'm going to the police.
Yeah.
Like, if you snitch on me, I can't blame you for snitching on me because you don't care about being a street nigga or right. You don't care about politics. Shit, nigga, my mama even be on bullshit. My mama good goddamn feed me to the police.
Really?
No, dead
well,
ass.
You talked about her giving the gun over, and I was kind of like, damn, mom. No, like,
right? she did that a couple times. But times I done been in school, and she hit my phone like, I just pound these fucking guns. Calling the police on you.
Right.
Shit like that. Like, every time she do that shit. So it'd be like, you got to understand, certain people don't care about that shit.
Yeah.
Like, because I can't knock you for not being in the street nigga like me.
But the thing is like, can you be a rapper and be respected if you're so fully not in that state of mind at all?
I mean, look at 6ix9ine.
Right. He's pretty much.
It just shit don't matter no more.
But look at 6ix9ine. Look where his career is at.
No, he dead in the dirt. He was dick in the dirt.
He was the biggest rapper, pretty much, before he got this Fed case.
No, for sure.
And now, if he puts out a video, it's like really hard for him to get anybody to pay attention.
Yeah, nobody not fuck. But that also comes. But it's like when he came home from jail, he had everybody's attention. But it's like that shit just started going down and down and down and down.
That was crazy to watch.
But that also comes with like you ass like yo music suck.
Right, which is really weird. Dude, Gummo, Gummo was crazy. Everybody was listening to that shit, whether you're a fucking real gangster, fake-ass gangster. Everybody was rocking out to
that song.
And he had like 8 of those songs in a row. And then everybody just was like, nah, let's fuck this shit.
But at the end of the day, though, fraud shit, that shit don't last, though.
Mm.
Like, it's like, but what he did, that was some bitch-ass shit.
Yeah.
Because his situation is like, all right, you trying to be a gangster. So it's not like you trying to stay out the streets and you trying to be an innocent kid and then some shit happened and you like, all right, boom, I don't expect a nigga who not like that to stick to the code and be built like that because he not built like that and he don't even want to be built like that.
Right.
But when you acting like you built like that and you portraying this image and you doing games, you calling hits on niggas.
Mm.
You telling on shit that you did.
It's actually
it's your fault.
The Pop Hunter thing is a total opposite 6ix9ine thing because he snitched when he was a kid and then he became a rapper. 6ix9ine became a rapper, told us how gangster he was over and over and over, and then he snitched. Himself.
that's
way worse.
That nigga fried. But what the Pop Hunter shit, what the fuck he tell on? What happened?
I think he saw a murder. He saw his friend get killed and then he told the cops that it was so-and-so who shot him or some shit. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not great, but, you know. I wasn't a gangster, especially at 14. So when I think about it, it's like, damn, a 14-year-old man, that is a little kid. But some people are really gangbanging at 14.
But
though.
That's not because me at 14, I was gonna stand. I'm gonna die before I tell.
Mm.
But that's how my mind is. That's how I think, and that's how I feel.
Mm.
But a nigga who not in the streets, I mean, he don't feel that way. So I mean, you can't be mad at him. You don't have to fuck with him. Or you don't have to, like, feel me? But it's like, you can't be just mad at the nigga. I mean, if he wanted to snitch, he wanted to snitch. He just better not act like a street nigga. As long as he don't act like a street nigga, then he cool.
But, okay, put yourself in this situation. Let's say you're basically Lil Uzi in this shit. So you see some kid, he got a fire song, it's blowing up. You hit him up, you say, hey, I fuck with that song. I want to hop on a remix. He says, oh, I fuck with you, dope boy. Do a remix, you hop on it, and then that blows the song up. So all of a sudden, this kid's famous because of you. This is basically what happened in Uzi's case. And then you find out that this kid did something that you don't agree with. Like, that's where you get to make the decision. Like, are you going to say, because Uzi never said anything publicly, I don't think. Right. If he did say anything, this kid put it on blast on his story, you know?
Right. I seen the DM and shit. Mm. Yeah, I saw that.
So, but would you feel like you had to say something if...
If
you found out you did a song with someone and then you found out they snitched when they were 14.
Nigga, hell yeah. If you got snitch papers on your name and you like tricked me to do a song with you, that's not fair to me. Because you fucking with my brand and my image and what I stand for.
Mm.
Like, I can't be preaching I don't fuck with snitches and then you got me doing a song with a snitching ass nigga.
Mm. Do you think that the 6ix9ine thing made more young kids like not think that shit's a big deal? Because you growing up, you always knew it was a big deal.
See, it's a lot of people that's like him. Like a lot of people who just internet thugs and just like don't live like that. So That's why he was cool even for the little time, his little couple months of fame that he had when he came home from jail, because his fans were still riding for him, because it's way more of them type of people than it is us. Mm. It's way more people in the world who not street niggas than it is people who really is street niggas and really living like that. Mm. It's way more of them. They outweigh us by a lot.
But somehow, with 6ix9ine, the opinion of all the street people who look down on him for that shit, it feels like that opinion of them, of him, still like sept through and like basically like tainted 6ix9ine's image, even to all the pussy ass little kids.
Yeah, for sure. Because
at the end of the day, what it's future
it's,
and
it's
what
the most
Doughboy,
influential rappers,
what Young Thug thinks of 6ix9ine is going to affect what because the average 16-year-old kid thinks of him.
They fuck with 6ix9ine, but I love Young Thug way more than I love 6ix9ine. Mm. He's my favorite rapper.
That's why it's dangerous to pick sides
Meek
as a
Mill.
Rapper.
I love Meek Mill way more than I love 6ix9ine. Mm. He's my favorite rapper. So it's like, all right, 6ix9ine, I fuck with your music and shit. And I fuck with you, but you feel me? That's how they think. Mm. So it's like when they favorite people in the world say, no, fuck that nigga.
Yeah.
Just start fucking with him.
It's hard for them to stick along for the ride.
But then you got some of them gay ass dick riders that just be on his dick and be like, fuck y'all.
But to be fair,
y'all wrong.
You've never seen one rapper do a song with 6ix9ine since he got out. And for a minute there, I remember Academics had a little video where he was saying like so-and-so.
Somebody gonna do it. Some
big rapper is gonna do a song with Academics. We haven't, with 6ix9ine, like we haven't seen it. Like
nigga ain't did it. Only nigga who did that was like Nicki.
Shout out Nicki.
And then fucking Akon.
All right, yeah.
He tripping.
I think a lot of people were let down by Akon on that one. Huh?
That nigga tripping.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah.
What's Doughboy got in the works right now? What you been working on? What do you got to come? I'm really fucking with the music. I'm gonna be honest with you. That Southside project really
fuck that shit.
Really hit home.
Yeah, man. I got an album I'm working on. Like this gonna be like my first real like project, like my first real Doughboy album. Like,
oh yeah.
I guess it's a solo album. I just been locking in with all the biggest producers and shit, trying to figure out like, cause I want the sound to be, you feel me? I want to show my versatility. Like, I want this kind of song, that kind of song. Mm. So it's like I've been locked in with like Zaytoven, locked in with the Southsides and fucking Tay Keith, 30 Rock.
Mm. Shout out 30 Rock, had him on the podcast.
Yeah, you go crazy. Cardo, Sledrin, like people that, you feel me? If you could think of a producer in the game, I've been locked in with him. I've been fucking with him. Murder Beats, like.
Shout out Murder.
Anyway, I've been going crazy with everybody. So it's like, I got like 60 songs that I recorded within like the last month and a half. 60 songs that I recorded for the album. I'm trying to pick like 14, 15 songs. Mm. So I'm going to wait till I get to like 100. When I get to 100, then I'm going to pick.
Interesting. Yeah, do you feel like what's going to be different for you with a full-length project? Like, what do you have to do different to make it stand out from what you put out in the past?
I feel like but one thing what I noticed, everything that I ever drop, it always get bigger. Mm. Like I say the first time I ever even cracked like the Apple Music charts, it was my second project I dropped when I came home. And Free Benzy Trust 2. Was that my second project? I think it was my second project. But whenever I dropped in Free Benzy Trust 2, I cracked the charts. I was at 175. But no, it went up to 173. I was happy about that. Mm. So I'm like, damn. Oh, shit, I just cracked the Apple Music charts. What the fuck? So that was like a milestone for me.
Mm.
Then the next time I cracked the Apple Music charts, I dropped 88 Birds. It was a project I did with TM88.
Mm.
It was executive produced by Young Thug, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So when I did that, it charted, went from, mind you, I did Infra Benzy Trust 2 was 175. Then that drop, it was at 56.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, but that shit, like, feel me? It ain't really that high. But to me, it is, because it's like, you gotta think, out of the billions of niggas that rap in the world, niggas is not cracking these charts.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm watching all these rappers coming up, and a lot of them don't get on them charts. So when you get on them charts, that's when you start knowing, like, oh, you getting in there, like you in the industry, like you starting to cross over to that.
Yeah.
So when I did that, I went 56. I was happy as fuck. I'm like, shit. Boom. Then I dropped my next project. Streets Need Me 2. When Streets Need Me 2 dropped, that motherfucker went all the way up to 20.
Ooh.
So I'm like, damn, I got a top 20 album in the world. Like, with all these fucking rappers. Like,
everyone you know raps.
Everybody I know rap. Nobody, you're not even about to believe on them 200, on them top 200 charts. Like,
yeah.
But it's like, it's crazy. Like, damn, I'm all the way up here in 20. And I'm looking at the rappers who are in front of me. I'm like, damn, what the fuck? So when I dropped Streets Need Me 2, that went 20 and shit. So right after that, like a couple months later, I dropped the 56 Birds with Esco. But that was on some, that wasn't even a full length project. It was a 10 song project and on some shit we woke up and threw out.
Mm.
And it went 25.
Wow.
So I'm like, all right. No, matter of fact, I forgot, before, like two projects before that, before Streets Need Me 2, I dropped a full piece, like four songs on the EP. And I charted top 40.
Right.
I'm like, man, what the fuck? So after that, I dropped Streets Need Me 2. That went top 20. Then I dropped 56 Birds on some surprise shit, threw it out, and it went 25. Uh-huh. I'm like, oh, my shit going crazy. Like, for it to be streaming like that. So I knew when I did Demons R Us, I'm like, all right, I went top 20. Mind you, when you get up in there, that shit get hard. Because them niggas that be in that, yeah. Like, you can pull up the top 20 charts right now. Them niggas streaming, like.
Yeah.
So I'm like, man, I gotta go top 10.
It's tough to do Taylor Swift numbers.
Yeah, that shit hard.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I gotta go top 10. I drop Demons R Us. I get up to number 9. I'm like, what the fuck? That shit is crazy to me. Like, with me being where I'm from and me being who I am and just seeing where I came from, I'm like, damn, bro. Dropped the number 9 project in the world. Like, I just did a million streams in a day. Like, this shit getting colossal.
Yeah.
So now when I just did that, all right, boom. Now I'm rolling on. I'm about to take that momentum and bring it on over here.
Mm.
So now when I drop this album, I'm going number 1.
There it is.
I went from 20 to 9. I'm jumping up 10 more spots.
It's all about just building every time, because as soon as you were to, if you slide back a whole bunch, it can be very like demotivating to like try to get back to the position you're in. It's all about being consistent. That's the one thing I think that when I'm looking at your shit, I'm like, damn, Doughboy is hella consistent, and he never really
I'ma stay in your face. Because it's like I see how to do this shit because I got the world attention. Like, I know that everybody know who I am. Mm. Like, I ain't gonna say, like, everybody, like, as far as, like, fan-wise know who I am. But, like, everybody in the world know who I am as far as, like, industry niggas, sports niggas. Like, everybody know who I am. I got the whole industry ride with me. My album dropped, everybody posted it. Lil Baby, LeBron James, fucking, I don't care who it is. They all, Kevin Durant. Everybody posts my album when it drops. Every time I drop a project, they stand with me. So it's like, and I'm realizing it's like, I need to take advantage of this shit. I'm gonna stay consistent and keep going crazy.
Yeah.
So it's like, all I gotta do is keep going, and it's gonna stick. It's gonna be that one. And I feel like it's about to be this one right here. Demons R Us did what I wanted it to do. It did what I needed it to do. It catapulted me to where I want to be right now. Now. Everybody like, all right, boom. I respect that nigga, but I gained so many new fans from that. Like, just even having a nigga with like Southside producing my whole project. Right. That's big for me.
He's like a real...
He's a legend.
There's not that many producers that bring a shitload of listeners with them to a project.
Yeah, he coming with them.
Yeah.
So it's like I gained all his fans. Like,
I know
they
people
fucking with me
who listen to music strictly based on who's producing it. Like they'll be like, if they see the Southside's working with some artist, they'll be like, all right, I'm gonna go listen to his project.
Because you know, if he doing it, it ain't no bullshit.
Yeah.
So it's like, even this album, Southside is like about to executive produce it. Like, it's gonna be executive produced by Southside in future.
Mm. That's crazy.
Yep.
Much respect. Doughboy. Doughboy forever. Doughbeezy.
Doughblicky, that's my new name.
Ooh, I like it. Yeah, I appreciate you pulling up, man.
I appreciate you having me. I've been wanting to come here for a minute, man.
Let's do it. Yeah, well, anytime, man. Doughbeezy back on the podcast. It's good to have you in here. Good to get an update. Good guy.
Very good guy, man.
Really?
Oh, really?
When Dirk said that in the verse, were you hyped? Were you laughing in the studio when he said that?
What? But it's so crazy. Everybody I do a song with, do like, if you notice when I did the Uzi shit,
yeah,
he at the beginning of the song, oh really? Like, even on the Thug shit, on the I'm Scared, Thug on the beginning, oh really? Dirk, Minivans, oh really? Like, everybody do the oh really. When
that's
they,
an underrated.
That's what everybody ad-lib, know me for.
That's an underrated.
I got the hardest ad lib in the game. Who the fuck got a better ad lib than me?
No, it's a good one.
Yeah.
And people, it ain't blown out yet. You know?
No,
a lot of people get a good ad lib and then everybody starts doing it. It's over.
Yeah, no, you can't. That's one of them ad libs. You can't take my ad lib. If you take that, you stealing.
And it reminds me of, you know that meme with the owl and it says, oh, really?
I ain't see that.
Oh, I got to show you this just to get your reaction. This is the fucking most famous. This used to be a huge meme. This is probably like 15 years ago when this shit came out. But it was just this.
Oh, yeah, no, I ain't never see that.
That's you.
That's
oh,
crazy.
Really? This is the biggest meme for a while. We're going to put this on
man,
the screen.
I need that. Send that to me.
Yeah, and then look how the owl comes in. Yeah, really?
Yeah, no. See? Yeah, I need that, man.
For sure. Shout out, Doughboy. Shout out, FBG. Shout out, everybody pulling up. No Jumper. Doughboy. Coolest podcast in the world. Like, comment, subscribe.
But like, athlete guy. No Jumper.
Bricks. Appreciate you, man.
For sure.